The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw Dating, preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys, and broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star. Now, your hosts, Jess Navarez, Aisha Morrison, Kelsey Charles, and Haley Sutton.
Good afternoon, everyone. A fun 4 o'clock hour we have planned for you guys here on Girls Talk Boys Talk. I'm Haley Sutton with Aisha Morrison and Jess Navarez. Ladies, it is a Jerry Jones Tuesday. We've had a lot of chatter from him today. He spoke this morning on The Fan, obviously, and he's always interesting when we get to listen to him on the radio. But yeah, the big thing everyone's been talking about, obviously, Dak Prescott update. He said he is not ready to play in a game just yet. He cannot fully grip the football, so he obviously can't step in and play quarterback against the Rams just yet. But they are not ruling him out just yet. So I want to start there with you guys, just your initial thoughts on hearing that update. I know Dak had a doctor's appointment earlier today, but just your initial thoughts on what Jerry had to say.
Just continue to let him get better, man. Like, I'm very copacetic when it comes to what's going on with Dak Prescott.
I
really want
That's a big word.
I'm trying to expand
out here. Copacetic. Can you use that in a sentence, please?
She said copacetic.
Spell it out. Now, listen, don't. But, okay. I mean, I do like they're being somewhat transparent about, like, I think, you know, Calvin Watkins tweeted out more details about, like, you know, they're waiting on the swelling and stuff like that. So I do like the openness with kind of us knowing what's going on with this injury, but let him take his time. There's no reason to push him right now. I understand this next two games are a big deal, but right now, you know, we're going to talk about it later. But, yeah, he should – it's okay right now. Right?
Honestly, I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised by any means.
You're not surprised that he's not playing?
I'm not shocked by any means. And really, you know, as everybody wanted to be optimistic and say, oh, Dak could be back by the Rams game, even back when he first got hurt, I keep saying this over and over, it is his throwing hand. And this is not an injury that you want to rush any quarterback back in, especially, you know, your starting quarterback, right? And so I'm not surprised, but also I'm really not surprised because during the broadcast on Sunday, you heard Aaron Andrews even talking about it. And you heard Aaron Andrews, you saw the zoom in of the hand, you know, for those of us that aren't like around Dak to see it firsthand, it did look a little swollen. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying anything, but just how she alluded to, he kind of pushed it a little too hard this week. I wasn't surprised. And kind of in that moment on Sunday, I was like, oh, yeah, Dak's not going to play the Rams game, which is okay because, you know what, even Jerry Jones said on The Fan, he didn't expect this team to be 3-1 at this point. I don't think anybody did. And the Cowboys have that padding, and they are in a position to where really – they can afford to keep Dak out for this game and play off the chemistry that they have, keep gelling that offensive line, keep making sure everything is nearly perfect for when Dak is ready to come back physically and mentally, because that's something we talk about a lot on this show.
Yeah, I love that you brought up Aaron Andrews and her report and showing just how swollen Dak's hand looks, because I think for a lot of people, and the guys even talked about it earlier on Talking Cowboys, for a guy like Dak, you know, who is physically, besides that hand, everything else is good to go.
Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating knowing that the one thing that's holding you back is this, you know, freaking thumb issue. But what I will say, and it's good that you have Cooper Rush as your insurance. I've obviously never played NFL football before, but I did play college soccer.
Okay.
Throwing a little out there. And obviously, like, I still play pretty regularly. Last year, I broke my elbow.
Oh.
And it was one of those injuries where I got really lucky because it could have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of physical therapy, I was at the point where, you know, I'm doing this and, you know, like, I'm like showing the doctor, like, I can do all this stuff.
Right.
And he's like, all right, like, you better chill out. Like, you're going to get too ahead of yourself and then it's going to make it worse. And sure enough, I thought I was big, went to Orange Theory, picked up that 10-pound weight instead of the 5-pound weight, and my elbow just immediately gave out.
Oh,
and
no.
All of that work I had been doing for 4 weeks is like, now you're back to square one.
Yeah.
So I say that in saying, obviously, I'm not comparing my elbow injury that I got in a adult league soccer game to Dak Prescott's injury. He got in the NFL. But what I will say is that I think it's important to see those things, and for not just, you know, the team and the broadcast to see that kind of stuff, but for fans to see, like, this is still a serious injury. This is something where he has plates and he has screws. You know, he had to have surgery to get fixed. So I think it's important that we keep that in mind as far as that timetable goes. And when you have a guy like Cooper Rush, who has impressed all of us, why rush it?
And I think something really important, too, and we touch base on this all the time on the show, is the mental conditioning. And I cannot imagine how Dak feels, just the frustration of knowing mentally. We've heard him talk about, I've seen how simple this game plan can be. I'm seeing it from a new perspective. He's ready to get back in there. Mentally, his mind is ready. But I think something, too, that's going to be important for Dak as he does get more touches on the ball and we see him start to incorporate and practice when that time comes, is the mental aspect of playing post-injury. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something Dak has handled very well with what we've seen, especially, you know, Tampa Bay last season when he came back from the ankle injury. His mental aspect of playing after an injury is there, but we haven't seen it with a throwing hand injury, right? So I think if anybody can do it, it's going to be Dak. But yeah, you know what? We're all ready to see Dak back in. It's just you have to be patient. And a week, in retrospect, doesn't seem like a long time, I guess, from a fan perspective. But really, when you look at the amount of hours within that week that is giving that thumb to Hill, give him the week. I don't want to see Dak until he's 100% healthy.
And I also think that this is something I've noticed with Mike McCarthy since he's gotten here. He takes health very seriously.
He does.
Like, he does not seem to play about it, right? And even so, to where he's, you know, countering, you know, what the reports are, what's been out in, you know, in the media prior to him having his interviews, this guy definitely puts health first with these players. And I think Michael Gallup is another testament to, like, them waiting till a guy is ready. And then when he comes back, he looks himself, because we saw it last year, even with Tank Lawrence late in the year, coming back from the foot injury. He came back in and he looked himself because they took time. You know, Neville Gallimore as well. Like, so I think that it's important that we also give some credit there to them, the way they're handling it, and the fact that how Mike McCarthy has just handled the injuries on this team this last couple of years, because we've had – Cowboys have had some very serious ones.
And he's always saying it's a continuous conversation, right? So it's not just a, oh, have fun with your rehab. We'll see you when we see you. No, he said it's a continuous conversation. I think the perfect example of that was Michael Gallup. And Michael Gallup feeling comfortable enough to say, hey, coach, mentally, it's not there yet. And Mike McCarthy saying, all right, I think that's a good testament to Mike McCarthy and the culture he's created here.
Yeah, he talked a lot about that yesterday, too, because obviously the biggest story, I think, in the NFL right now is what's going on with Tua Tagovailoa.
And you asked him about that at the press conference.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to say. Just the way that was handled, one of the things McCarthy said was, you know, I'm the last person that you should be asking about injuries when it comes to players, because those guys aren't going to tell me, you know, like, at least not off rip. You know, like, you're a competitor. You're going to tell your coach, like, I'm ready to play. Put me in. But I loved how he answered that question, and just the way he takes health, and not just health, but like mental health as well.
Yeah.
So important for these guys. I think it really, to Jess's point, I think it really helps the players be like, hey, you know what? Like, maybe today's not the day. Maybe, you know, now's not the time.
Right. And speaking of injuries, we got some news today that I don't think anybody really saw coming. I think it was kind of out of left field today. So Haley, what's the update with Jake McQuaid?
Yeah, we do have an injury update with Jake McQuaid. He has a torn triceps injury. I guess it happened towards the end of the game. He has since been moved to IR, so his season will be done. Long snapper, of course, and a lot of the conversation on special teams has just been, you know, his contributions to keeping the special teams consistent. And one of the things we talked about before we hopped on here was just, you never really recognize how important those guys are, you know, on a day-to-day basis. The long snapper is not the first guy you think of when you're analyzing a game. So they did sign two other guys to take his place. They worked out for signed two. So it will definitely be interesting to see how whoever gets the start on Sunday slides into that role, and just how important Jake McQuaid was for special teams.
Yeah, I tweeted out, like, he's been here a long time. This guy is a consistent part of this team. So I'll be curious to see how things are moving forward. But then also, too, you know, special teams play has been important. You know, anger has been very important to what this team does defensively as well. So Hopefully whoever they bring in here, they can get in sync real quick and, you know, continue to play good ball.
Yeah, definitely. And I think special teams has been a topic of conversation really for the Cowboys this season for good reasons. And, you know, it's always unfortunate when you see a guy end a season. So I really feel for Jake McQuaid, especially being the veteran leader that he is. I think that's of course, a huge loss for special teams in terms of locker room leadership.
Sure.
And so, you know, but the thing about this team is they are resilient and they do come back from, you know, losing those leaders, and they all kind of step up with that next man up mentality. So that'll be interesting to see kind of transpire these next few weeks.
Yeah, and it's been interesting too, like you mentioned, with special teams being so integral. I'm always curious, again, as a soccer player, I pay a lot of attention to the kickers.
Sure.
And you know, what that situation looks like. And so tomorrow obviously you have practice and we'll get to chat in the locker room, so I'm actually interested to talk to Brett Maher and just see from a relationship standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, how that affects him. You know, this is a guy who's probably having one of the best seasons of his career, at least to start.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely interested to see how that chemistry, if it plays a factor at all in his abilities.
And something interesting, now that we're on the topic of Brett Maher, John Fossil talked about Brett Maher a lot during his press conference. And something he mentioned was that the blocked kick.
And
Brett Maher was the one that made the tackle.
It was a good tackle.
Something that he mentioned, which I really never even thought about from this perspective, was Brett Maher wasn't coached to do the tackle. He really, you look at it from a football standpoint, he should have jumped on the ball to get the fumble back. But instinctively, he talked about how he talked to Brett Maher after the fact. And Brett Maher's like, no, because if I would have gone for the fumble, you know, and tried to recover the ball, that could have made the ball go everywhere. That could have put the Commanders in better field position, and it could have been a worse thing. But for Brett Maher to have that kind of thought within what, 0.7 seconds, mm-hmm. Incredible for him to just say, I'm going to do the tackle, keep the ball where it's already at. That's incredible to me to hear about Brett Maher. So good for Brett Maher. We're Money Maher stands on this podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
In this podcast, we enjoy talking about Brett Maher, and we enjoy talking about the special teams as well. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here on Girls Talk, Boys Talk, sponsored by Jigsaw, the preferred dating app of the Dallas Cowboys. When we come back, we're going to talk a little defense. They've been the talk of the town so far this season, so stick with us. We've got some good stuff coming up on Girls Talk, Boys Talk.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you. Welcome back to Girls Talk Boys Talk, sponsored by Jigsaw, the preferred dating app of the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to break down this Cowboys defense after this read with Jess.
And we're going to talk about the ultimate fan experience. You can get that fan experience for the ultimate Cowboys fan by joining Dallas Cowboys United, presented by Globe Life, starting at just $20. I mean, that's a steal, people. That is amazing. Join us now to get your fan pack, exclusive benefits, and more. You can do this by visiting DallasCowboys.com/United for details and join today. $20. That takes you a long way. I love that.
Yeah, $20 doesn't even get me a full tank of gas these days. So that sounds like the better deal. Anyways, ladies, we've been talking so much this season about this Dallas Cowboys defense. There's not a whole lot more we can say, but something that can be said about this team, Dan Quinn said yesterday, he said that something that he wants these guys to focus on every week is a phrase. He said, "So what? Now what?" Mm-hmm. Right? And he kind of interpreted that as, okay, like, sure, the defense is doing this every game, but so what? That's in the past. Now we focus on what we can do going forward. Obviously, a big talking point this season has been addressing the run defense. McCarthy talked about that yesterday as well. Aisha, I know you have some points on that. So give us your thought on that run defense, girl.
Yeah, so we were talking about it earlier, you know, before the show, like, although I don't like, you know, some of the run fits on that side of the ball sometimes, and we've seen teams, you know, attack the edge of this Cowboys defense. It's obvious, it's been talked about, you know, Micah playing edge. You're seeing teams go at him. You're seeing teams, you know, try to get him in rough situations, chipping him, stuff like that. And really, when I first started hearing about it and seeing it on film also, was I immediately just thought about DeMarcus Lawrence. And just how much we forget and just don't think about what this guy does in the trenches in run defense. It is difficult, you know, to just stay there on that edge and have to deal with those guys climbing on you, chipping you. So I think that the run defense can improve there. You know, I think it also will improve when you get a Jayron Kearse back. I think that's going to be important because the linebackers sometimes are having trouble with their fits as well. So if you know, get a safety there instead of a linebacker, that gives you more speed and more coverage ability as well. So we saw Jayron Kearse tweet earlier, like, this, that three-headed monster's coming.
I'm looking at it right now.
That dime package is going to be insane because you got three guys that can tackle as well. I mean, Malik Hooker, this is something like you start to see on tape. I've started to see on tape. His tackling is becoming a lot stronger. Dan Quinn talked about it in the press conference, that he can see, you know, in the latter part of the year last year, that he started to really wrap up and tackle more and trust his body coming off that Achilles. And so you got three safeties that can come out there and tackle. I think that's going to help your run defense as well. But as far as that, I mean, it's a similar situation to what we're saying every week about other teams, right? Like, this week, you didn't want to run into the teeth of the Commander's defense, right? You wanted to, you know, try to take the edges.
Sure.
That's what people are trying to do against the Cowboys right now, because Quinn Bohanna, Neville Gallimore showing up big last game. These guys are really clogging up that A and B gap as well. So I just want to give credit to those guys. And I mean, I just want to try to stay level headed with the defense, because we want them to be completely dominant, but you are getting dominance. Look at these scores. You know, like, these other gentlemen across the line from them are also professionals. Like, they're going to come out and make adjustments.
I mean, is this the National Football League?
Are they really pros? Yes, these are other professionals as well, and we can't expect. Like, granted, I think this defense is going to continue to get better, but we can't expect for them to just roll over every week. Like, so,
sure.
So, yeah, I think there is improvement to be made, absolutely. And, you know, with Micah, I hate seeing him struggling on the sideline and grabbing it. But he said it after the game. It's football. It's football. This is what comes with the territory. And I love that he's acknowledging that and taking that on. Go ahead, Jay.
And Jerry Jones had mentioned, you know, on 105.3 The Fan this morning, when he was asked about Micah's health, he said he's healthy. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I mean, and really, these guys, just all professional athletes, just what they put their body through and what they endure is really so incredible when you look at it. But something I wanted to mention to your point, you were talking about the safety position, and something Dan Quinn said during his press conference was, this is just a fun group of safeties that he's working with here. And, you know, when you were talking about Malik Hooker and the tackling, Dan Quinn mentioned that he's one of the best when it comes to the tackling perspective of things. And tackling was actually an emphasis that Dan Quinn put on the defense this last week for the Washington game. And so he said that it was better, and it's something that they emphasize. However, I definitely think we're going to continue to see that emphasis as weeks go on, because like you said, there's still improvements to be made. However, let's give credit to Dan Quinn and his defense, because they've only allowed one touchdown per game that they've played this season.
Yeah, and
that's incredible. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then Joey Jr., those guys, like, Joey Jr., Al Harris, these guys. Also, too, you look at Deron Bland, who looks like, we don't know absolutely what's going on with Jordan Lewis yet, and we'll find out more information. But if he has to play, you know, this upcoming week, this guy came in there and made an impact, and you know he got limited snaps the week before. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't the guy that was starting, right? So for them to have that gentleman just ready, I mean, credit to him as well, you know, but for him to be ready to play that position at a high level says something to the depth of this team also. And Donovan Wilson is not playing with y'all.
No, they
he sets the tone in these games. Yeah. And if you got a running back that don't like getting hit, listen, you're going to find out today.
He's speedy.
You're going to find out. It's not even. And this is something we talked about yesterday. I asked Christy, I wanted one of you guys to maybe ask him if his health regimen has changed, what he's doing differently, because something about Donovan Wilson, we've seen he is not afraid to throw his body around at all. He is hunting for you. And I saw, like, numerous times, you know, when he got injured, you know, prior to this year, he was throwing his shoulder out there and really trying to lay the boom on guys, and that was causing injuries for him. He had the collarbone, shoulder issues, stuff like that. But this season, the tackling form is impeccable. It's insane, right? And I wonder if, you know, this new coaching staff has gotten with him and shored up that tackling, because that's something that I think the Cowboys do collectively pretty well. But Donovan Wilson, it's almost textbook when he's tackling right now.
I think a lot of it is confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of these guys are coming in playing confident. And that goes back to, you know, Mike McCarthy building the culture, but Dan Quinn building what he started last year and then just continuing it on. So usually what you see with the team is, all right, end of the year, close the book, start again, open from page one. It's almost like Dan Quinn opened from the same exact page of that book that they ended the season with last season and then said, all right, we're starting where we were, but we're going to amplify it.
Yep.
So I think giving the guys the confidence to know what they're doing, trust their coaching, trust their brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And Dan Quinn came out of the gates in his press conference to say, hey, let's talk about the chemistry within this locker room. And I think that is something that is just echoed, because it's so important, and it's so, so rare to see a team play this connected and with such a brotherhood.
Well, a lot of that is because they're organically drafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of these guys have come up with each other. They have bonds because, and this is something like, you know, people don't like that the Cowboys are a draft and develop team. People want them to be more aggressive and free agency and things like that. I get it, yo, but this culture, real culture, there's a culture on this team. I don't care what anyone says. Like, right now, they have built something, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You look at guys like Israel Mokwamu, like, one of his biggest things that is, I thought that he was not, like, tackling physically. He was not a physical guy like that. This guy's coming in, and he's coming in, he's in the box. Like, what's going on? There is a culture. If you can't, you have to play multiple positions in this defense. There's versatility that's on this defense that's not the norm. And I think a lot of that has to do with coaching. And look, even the rally to the ball. You see so many hats to the ball. Like, this defense is humming right now. And you're right. I think it has a lot to do with the culture and how they're feeling, how they feel about each other as people.
And, you know, we're talking all about defense and Dan Quinn. Anytime he speaks, it's just so amplifying to listen to him during these press conferences.
Yeah, he's
turning you up. So I want to play on the defense after hearing him talk during those pressers.
On the defense.
I mean, I'm like, suit me up, but, you know.
Get me on. I'm going in on special teams. Thank you very much.
We will stick to doing this.
We just talked about these are NFL players are out there. Yes. I will for sure sign
John
you up
Fassel,
to be
if you're
kicker.
Listening.
John Fassel,
there
if you're
go.
Out there, I can be your backup.
But you know what? What I was saying with all of that is Dan Quinn was asked about Trayvon Diggs. Mm-hmm. And something that his message to Trayvon was not to chase something from before, but creating a presence now. Because there's been a lot of chatter about Mr. Trayvon, and you know, he had an incredible season last season. So what I really like is Dan Quinn said, you know, we try not to get stuck in what we made in the past. Mm-hmm. That's in the past. That's there. But we're creating something new, a new presence. And, you know, you look back at the defense last season, we said, oh, man, this is great. How can we get any better? And they have. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier last week was you're mentally confusing the offenses and the, you know, these quarterbacks that have to face you. They don't know what's coming next. That versatility, the flexibility within the defense is confusing for offenses that have to sit there and watch tape. I do not want to be that person. Aisha, I know tape is your thing. Yes. I can't even imagine sitting there and trying to break down what Dan Quinn is doing because he is a mastermind when it comes to the defensive scheme.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that you pointed that out. I actually wrote that down as something to say, and I'm kind of the same with Dan. Like, you just get so mesmerized.
Yeah.
And my favorite part about Dan is, like, when you ask him a question, like, you could literally ask him anything, and he's like, that's a great question.
Yeah, good question.
That's a great question. Yeah, question. And like I said, it could not be a great question. And he's like, that's a great question.
That's
and then
a cool
gives you
question.
This, like,
yeah.
Shakespearean answer, and you're like, that was a good question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I love that you brought that up and that we touched a little bit earlier just on the chemistry that this team has. But I wrote down the Cowboys starting defense. And when you look at these guys, I mean, these are guys, like, to your point, Aisha, like, they've been playing together for a minute. They've grown up. They've seen each other. They know each other very well. And every time Dan Quinn was asked something, that is the first thing that he went back to. He's like, yeah, you know, like, we're doing this well because of our chemistry. Oh, well, you know, I sat down with our guys yesterday, and the first thing I told them was how good they were on chemistry, which I think really plays a big part when you talk about Micah, a guy who's getting beaten and bruised anywhere he is on the field, your little face. but, you know, it's just good to be able to have guys who can slide in the place of Micah or, I'm going to say, pick up the slack. I don't mean slack, but for lack of better terms, pick up where he is being blocked off or being double teamed. It's so important to have that because I don't think without that chemistry, you have the success that the defense has had so far.
Yeah. Sure. And something, too, that I was watching Cowboys Hour right before I got here, and so Dorrance Armstrong went on, and Christy, who was on here yesterday, was asking him, you know, just about everything, and he kind of said that he was beating himself up a little bit over the lack of sacks during this game that they all kind of were in. And he was asked, you know, was there more that you wanted? He said, yeah, there was more that all of us wanted. So to me, to light that fire under themselves for such a great game defensively, it wasn't perfect, and we know that. But, I mean, dang, this defense is incredible. And they're still saying, no, that's not good enough. We want more. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. And I have no doubt that he's going to get his wish.
Yeah, it's fun that you bring up the sacks. The PR staff just sent us out their weekly program before the LA game. And I want to read this out while we're talking about sacks. So it says, along with 15 sacks through four games, Dallas leads the league with 70 pressures per Pro Football Focus. And back whenever I was first learning the game, I used to think, like, sacks, that was like the epitome of what you could do as a defender. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, like, you take down the quarterback, like, you're the best.
Yep.
But it's so interesting how the game has changed now. And in my opinion, sure, you want to take down the quarterback, right? But the pressure, if you can put the quarterback under pressure, it's obvious, right? But it forces him to make a quicker decision. It forces him to maybe make a decision that he didn't want to make but has to avoid
that intentional grounding.
Intentional grounding, exactly. Yeah. So I just think it's so interesting how the mentality of being on the defensive line has shifted to, I want to take the quarterback down, to I want to help take the quarterback down because it looks better. And again, it goes back to just that chemistry that this defensive line has and their ability to have guys who can get to the quarterback and guys who can help assist get to the quarterback. And then you have guys also in the secondary, which we touched on a little bit earlier.
That's the best part.
Who, you know, is protecting the deep threat. And so again, like, back to your point, it confuses offenses because you're like, dang, like, what can I do? Like, what can I do?
Yeah, and John Machota said something yesterday. I was listening to him on Love of the Star, and he was like, you know, Cooper Rush did have a couple times where he almost threw picks, and those guys dropped those picks. Trayvon Diggs don't drop picks, and that's how you know he's so great. But, like, to your point, I was just saying, like, this defensive line, it's a unit, but you have guys back there also that can take advantage of that pressure because they are, you know, changing up their decisions. They're speeding up people's clocks. They're speeding up these quarterbacks' clocks. And to know that you do have a secondary that can snatch the ball out of the air and take it to the next level is important as well.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree. More stats here that I'm kind of reading as we're doing this that I love that is so interesting. DeMarcus Lawrence, a guy who we talk about the tank, he is tied for a career 3 sacks in that win against the Giants. It's the most he's tallied in the first 3 games of a season since he had 6.5 in 3 games back in 2017. But here's where it gets interesting.
Ooh.
Lawrence needs just one more sack to pass Hall of Fame defensive tackle Randy White for 6 most sacks in team history. And, you know, Tank's a guy who we talk about regularly, but that's such a hard word for me to say, regularly.
It's not easy.
It's not an easy word.
It's hard, right? But my favorite thing about DeMarcus Lawrence is not only is he just like that veteran presence on a strong defense, but how good is it to have a guy where you can kind of just forget about the stats because you know he's going to be making an impact no matter what he does, right? It's not like you're not like every game going, okay, like what's DeMarcus Lawrence going to do? Because it's just, it's almost like automatic. And so I love that they included that.
Yeah. Well, and I think something about Tank that really is noticeable is when he's speaking about anything that happens, his accolades, his accomplishments, he's so humble.
Yeah.
And I think to keep level-headedness and a humble aura to yourself after being the monster that he is so, so rare. And I just really love his mentality, his fight mentality. And he embodies everything that I think this defense should always be, and I think that goes back again. We can say this over and over. We're gonna sound like Dan Quinn, but the chemistry and the chemistry is so important, and the leadership, and you know, we always talk about what goes on in the locker room. Those guys have each other's backs. This is a brotherhood, and I think it is so special. And I've been saying it for weeks now. This chemistry is not to be slept on by anybody in this league because a lot of teams do not feel the chemistry like they feel within the Cowboys locker room.
Yeah, and he's humble enough.
I know.
Hey, listen, he's humble,
but he's not sheepish. Yeah. Okay.
No.
He is. That's one thing I love about Tank, though. He's been tweeting out almost after every game, underdog.
As he should.
Like,
as he should.
Because I think that this defense at this point is just like, what more do you need to see here? What more do you need to see?
The best of the best. I think it's a good time for our second break here on Girls Talk, Boys Talk. We're going to talk a little LA Rams when we come back. This is Girls Talk, Boys Talk, sponsored by Jigsaw, the preferred dating app of the Dallas Cowboys.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that 6th ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a 4th and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by 6 with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Welcome back to Girls Talk, Boys Talk, which is sponsored by Jigsaw, the preferred dating app of the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to dig into the Los Angeles Rams game against the San Francisco 49ers, but first we go over to Jess.
Fall officially kicks off at the Star with our first ever Fall Fest on Saturday, October 8th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come to the Tostitos Championship Plaza for a day full of family fun from a beer garden to a petting zoo, face painting, live music to fall-inspired food. I'm still vying for that pumpkin flavor and more. This event is free and open to the public, so if you want more information, you can head to thestarinfrisco.com. And I know you're not a pumpkin person. You're not a pumpkin gal, but that's okay. It's okay, Haley. So here's my thing. For not being a pumpkin gal.
I think pumpkin spice is just fine. I think it is just fine. I think it is overhyped. I think we put it out way too early. Every state that I've lived in, I have lived in Texas, I have lived in Montana, I have lived in Alabama, I have lived in Florida. It is too hot to be drinking pumpkin spice in August.
Look, here's the thing though. I don't like hot drinks. So my seasonal pumpkin drinks are always iced.
That's fair.
But they do taste better hot. I just don't like hot coffee, hot drinks. I'm more of an iced coffee gal. But hey, you know what? We're talking all things Rams and 49ers.
I was going to say, you know who was iced last night?
Ooh, that was good.
The Los Angeles Rams. Thank you very much. I'm here all night. Just kidding.
Here to hype you up.
I'm leaving at 5 o'clock. But no, in all seriousness, the Los Angeles Rams, the reigning Super Bowl champions, falling to the San Francisco 49ers 24-9 last night. We were just talking about it in the break. Matt Stafford sacked 7 times.
Ouch.
And ladies, if I am that Dallas Cowboys defense that we just spent a whole segment talking about, my ears are perking up, my tail is wagging. I am excited when I see that Matt Stafford struggled last night and the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you just see the loss of how big the loss of Andrew Whitworth, what that is for this team. It's like the level of like us losing a Zach Martin. It is serious for them. And then also too, Cooper Kupp has a lot that he is taking care of over there. I don't know how many targets he had, like 17 yesterday. It was insane or something like that.
Let's see, 14. Yeah. Looks like 14.
Yeah, it was crazy, right?
Might as well have been 17.
Yeah, almost there. Basically.
And just looking at that receiver core there, they're not getting a lot from their run game right now. They are still trying to figure things out, you know, post Super Bowl. And this happens to a lot of teams after a Super Bowl. They almost have to rebuild. And also, too, it's difficult to repeat in this league, people. Mm-hmm. So you're just seeing that. And I know we're going to get into it, you know, more, you know, tomorrow and stuff. But I am definitely far more worried about their defensive line and what they're capable of doing than what offensively they're doing right now. They look like they're really struggling to find a rhythm and find anything outside of Cooper Kupp, who's taking on the brunt of the work. They're coming off a short week. That 49ers defense is up with Dallas, you know what I'm saying? You know, they're both up there, you know what I'm saying? But that 49ers defense is nothing to sniff at, and they really out physical them yesterday. I mean, they do that to a lot of people, but I don't know if I was expecting for the Rams to be so offensively inept yesterday. So that is something for us to look at and obviously be looking at in this matchup this week.
And something that Micah had talked about, you know, last week when we were talking about the Commanders and all of the sacks that were allowed within the week before, Micah said, he said it perfectly, and Dan Quinn kind of echoed that, and that was something I actually had in my notes, was, it is for tomorrow, but a little spoiler alert, is how he said, a team's not going to play bad 2 weeks in a row, especially a team of that caliber. You're really not going to, maybe you're not going to see the same things that we saw this week really transpire into the Cowboys game. However, the Rams are going to come off of a short week. So that's always more of a advantage, if you will. I don't think so. I mean, I personally don't think so. I think teams and players are established to that already. But something that came up was Bobby Wagner, because Dan Quinn was his former defensive coordinator. So obviously DQ got some questions about him during the press conference. And so, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing. And Kellen Moore was even asked, like, hey, are you going to pick into DQ's brain a little bit about Bobby? Because he should know him as a player. Mm-hmm. Think about Bobby Wagner. Great, great guy. Scary. I'm scared. I'm not playing him. But here's the thing. Something that I'm just going through the stats for the first time, really looking at them. Something that jumped out to me, and this is just coming off of the Commanders game, was that the Rams only had one penalty for 5 yards. Keep in mind, we also played the Commanders, who had a total of 12 penalties within the first 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And then here comes the Cowboys. And so I'm going to be very interested to see more. I'm going to look into this tonight for the Rams. But if the Cowboys are able to get those easy penalties within the Rams game, I think that's going to be something to keep an eye out for, kind of like they did with Washington, given two completely different teams. But I think the Cowboys are really honing in on taking advantage of those a little bit more.
I was agreeing.
This kind of circles back to, I love a good first full circle moment. This circles back to what we initially started talking about, Dak versus Cooper and the idea of, you know, who do you want to play? We can pretty much assume that Cooper Rush will be the starting quarterback against the Rams. And I think that that bodes well against, you know, what we've been talking about with the Rams, just giving Cooper an opportunity. You know, maybe let's say Cooper goes into this one and he, you know, broke even as far as records go. Now when you've got a guy who is building his confidence a little bit more, he's going into this, he still hasn't lost a game as an NFL quarterback.
Knock on wood.
But
is this wood? Jazzy, is this wood? Did I knock on wood? Do I need to go knock on something else?
But no, I just think it bodes well, you know, when you have a guy who has built that confidence. He earned the respect of his teammates, although I think he had already had it previously. Just giving him an opportunity to give him, you know, a real challenge. Kellen Moore talked about how what he likes about Cooper Rush is just his ability to make take good chances. And I think that in a backup quarterback, sometimes that's not always easy to find because, you know, you get into the game and the adrenaline's going. You know, this is your first opportunity to show what you have. I don't think we ever really had that from Cooper.
No,
I think Cooper just stepped in and he's like, all right, here we go. Snap the ball. Like, oh, I'm going to throw it deep. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's in Noah Brown's hands or it's in Trayvon Diggs. Or Trayvon Diggs has got defense on the brain.
Hey, you know what? Lamb, he's basically going to play a wide receiver, right? Like, I don't blame you for that.
Eventually. But I just think, like, this matchup really bodes well for a Cooper Rush to have not necessarily a breakout game per se, but definitely just gives him another opportunity to show, like, it's okay. We can rest Dak one more week. We've got Cooper Rush.
And I think that goes back to what we've echoed of he's been around the scheme. He's been through the highs and the lows. He's been in this locker room, and it's well-respected through the locker room with everybody he's boating with and playing with. But, Aisha, what are your thoughts?
This game is the game that I'm the most excited to get into, like, film-wise. Just really excited to see some of Sean McVay's, you know, concepts and some of the things he does. I think that they do a lot. I know we're going to get into it tomorrow, but I think that they do a lot to help out their offensive line. So you see a lot of pre-snap motion and bracketing and stuff like that. They're trying to get, you know, guys on the right. They play the matchup game really well, and that's something that Dan Quinn does as well. So I think that that matchup between in the box, you know, I guess against Dan Quinn and Sean McVay, I think that right there is going to be super crazy to see because you have two great minds that have different weapons they can deploy and do different things. I'm curious to see how it is. So I'm really excited to get into the tape tonight on the Rams.
Yeah, and we'll obviously have a better idea of the preparation when we get to have practice tomorrow and then get in the locker room and talk to those guys. I know we're getting towards the end of our time here, so I want to go over to Jess, who has a little pass interference for
us. So your pass interference actually comes from Matt Owen. We have to put the plug in for Matt because he is just a bucket of knowledge, and we appreciate Matt Owen and his genius football mind. So Matt, thank you so much for sending this to Aisha to send to me. Really appreciate it. But he said through four games that the Cowboys offense has been called for 27 penalties, the same amount as they had through four games in 2021. The Cowboys defense has been called for 31 penalties, 11 fewer than 2021. So I was just talking about this. So
I was going to say, I want to hear your immediate thoughts because you are the you are the penalty queen.
I'm the penalty
queen. The anti-penalty queen.
I love that.
So,
you know what? If that's my new stick, I love that because you know how I hate penalties. You know what? I think we've seen improvement as far as the discipline with the penalties goes, and I'm just hoping to see more of it. That's my initial reaction. I don't want to see the Cowboys getting the penalties. I want to see them drawing penalties from the other side.
Yeah, and I love that stat because it's very indicative of, you know, the way that Mike McCarthy and even Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore kind of broke down how they felt about the first 4 weeks of the season. Mike McCarthy told us yesterday, you know, you don't really know enough about your team until you get to that 4 week mark. And by the time you're at that game four mark, you have a better understanding of the chemistry of who can do what. And I think that that's just kind of a cool, you know, way to track the progress is, you know, like, OK, like, sure, we had a rookie offensive offensive line that, or I guess less experienced offensive line that's still struggling to build that cohesion. We've got some new guys stepping in really all over the field. So I love that that stat's happening. Hopefully we can keep it
Matt Owen
the downward trend.
We love it. Thank you, Matt, for sending that in.
Matt Owen, thank you so much. Well, I think that just about does it for us here on Girls Talk Boys Talk. We've chatted a lot. We'll get a chance to break down this Los Angeles Rams versus the Dallas Cowboys matchup a little bit more tomorrow, but we're going to go home and get some rest and maybe get some dinner.
Please.
So
that sounds delicious. Yes.
For Aisha Morrison and Jess Navarez, I'm Haley Sutton. Thanks so much for joining us here on Girls Talk Boys Talk, sponsored by Jigsaw, the preferred dating app of the Dallas Cowboys. We will catch you tomorrow.
Bye, y'all.
Perfect. This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!